Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
In elementary school, I had one white teacher. He was the science teacher. But, you know, Bill Nye was popping them. So, okay. Yeah, he was like, he was that guy.
Yeah.
I was about to call him the N-word, but I'm like, we'll not do that.
Can we do that?
I mean,
yes, we could,
but like, I'm not like, gonna. I'm just gonna call him that guy because I'm not trying to like perpetuate calling white people the N-word right. To say that they're cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Listeners, welcome back to another episode of Fangirl Central.
Fangirl Central!
Woo! Where being a fangirl is central to our identity.
I'm Amber.
I'm Amanda.
Today we have a beautiful and eclectic guest. She is a Scooby-Doo fan. She is a writer and she is a beautiful and talented comedian.
Oh my goodness.
And a clown.
And a clown at heart.
Welcome.
Welcome, welcome. Kristen Wallace.
Hello. What's up, y'all?
Get into it. What is up?
I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you.
We
literally met on Juneteenth.
Yes. Wait, did we?
We met on Juneteenth last year when you were hosting karaoke.
Really?
That was the first time I had gone to like stage karaoke.
Wow.
I saw somebody posted you on Instagram and then I saw that you hosted karaoke and I was like, well, we have to go. And then I took Amber and Amber's roommate, Tiana.
Yes.
To karaoke on Juneteenth.
And you all did, I think, a Hannah Montana song.
We performed the Hoedown Throwdown, all three of us.
Yeah, and I was just like, I feel like the three of us are from a very particular weaved, traumatized cloth, and it's very rare. It's like running into legendary Pokemon.
Oh my god!
Or something, and yeah. It's like
absolutely
not to use the word master. In reference, because we're talking about Juneteenth, but you know, in Pokemon, the Master Ball—that's the ball that you can throw and at the 100% catch rate.
Mm. Oh,
like, and you usually get one per game. Mm. But if I had a friendship Master Ball, I would try to throw it at both of you at the, and try to get you guys in the same ball.
Oh my goodness.
You guys would be my friends forever. Or we could just be friends forever.
Well, we did. Cut it out. You caught us.
That is such an honor. Also, we're outing ourselves as not knowing anything about Pokemon.
Right, but the way you were talking about it, it sounds so cool. And now I wish I did grow up in that realm.
One time Pokemon did come on the movie at the time when Pikachu was dying.
Oh.
And Amber burst into tears. She we were watching it for minutes and Amber burst into tears.
Pikachu wasn't dying. Ash died
in
the ring.
And all the Pokemon.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
And Pikachu was
sitting
there like,
oh, Pikachu was crying.
Yeah. It was the saddest thing I've ever seen.
Amber was bursting into tears.
I couldn't. Oh,
and then
the
I was like, Amber, we're gonna change the channel. You're like having a problem.
Stop, wait, I can see the whole
why
scene.
Did you guys miss Pokemon?
Because we went to an all-girls school, and like I feel like anything, just for me, anything that was marketed towards boys, I was like, ew, boys, I don't care about anything that boys like.
You guys
like.
Don't have any boy cousins, like, close to me?
We have one boy cousin, but also...
But you know, he was into like football and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like he literally plays for the NFL. Like we don't have like,
and that's only our literal only boy cousin.
That's our only
we
like
really
close
grew
boy
up
cousin.
Around a lot of, wow. Like,
I have an older cousin who's a great friend now, but he like had he had a Super Nintendo.
Oh,
and then he got the Nintendo 64, and then we would go up to Philly. We would play Nintendo 64, and then we would just like want to play the games.
Yeah.
I've definitely always been like, I want to hang with the boys because my mom told me I couldn't have male friends.
Okay.
Oh, and that planted it. Yeah.
So not familial, but like my mom was just like, you can't do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because they're going to get you.
Yeah. But I just wasn't really like into Pokemon or anime or just anything or like video games. Like we didn't buy it. The only thing we had was a Nintendo DS.
Yeah, we also, and they were pink, and we also had like
shout
board
out Animal
games.
Crossing.
Yes. We also had like board games like Mall Madness, which was kind of like Monopoly marketed towards little girls. Mm. And then
did
also
you play the Mary Kate and Ashley Mall games?
No, but I want to.
We wanted that.
What is
it
that?
Was on PlayStation.
I want it immediately.
Yeah, we didn't have PlayStation.
And we had a Hannah Montana Nintendo game.
That makes sense.
I just remember very distinctively in like second grade, it was like, are you a girly girl or are you a tomboy? Like that was going on in my grade. And so it was like, you can't be both. And I was like, well, I'm a girly girl. And those are the tomboys over there.
I've always loved being both, mm-hmm. but not really girly. Just more so like in high school, I was like, I'm going to play soccer and I'm also going to be the star of the musical.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to do the fall play because the Shakespeare people are weird.
Yeah, I definitely was more of a musical person.
Yeah.
I love being both. Like, I don't like, I'm just kind of like gender fluid, whatever. But it definitely was a time. Like, I had to like go and seek Lord of the Rings or like go and seek, like, our dad loved Star Wars, but I just didn't like. And then I've watched animes now. I like Neon Genesis and like.
I need
the
to go back and
ones.
Watch that. One anime that I've been trying to keep up with is Attack on Titan. It's not even like long. It's just like the release dates are so sporadic. It's annoying to be a fan of it because it's unclear when it's going to continue mm-hmm. or how it's going to continue. Because they're on the final season right now, but somehow they have split it up in like a 3-year release span.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm just like, I don't know what's going on, so I can't. I need direction.
Keep up.
I'm a Capricorn sun.
I feel that because even when I was obsessed with Sherlock,
I knew you were
obsessed with
Sherlock because I was like, that sounds like that Sherlock scheduling.
I mean, it's like three episodes here, wait 2 years. We never know if it's coming back again. You
like,
know,
don't mess with me.
Like, no, I
don't
need to know the schedules.
Me.
That's why,
yeah, because we will leave.
That's why I was so grateful to Disney Channel saying 8/7 Central, be there or be square.
Yeah.
Well, Kristen, you have a Scooby Doo hat on.
Yes,
you've mentioned Cartoon Network. However, you work for Nickelodeon.
Mm-hmm. Shh, no, I was kidding.
on Baby Shark.
Dude.
So
yes.
Watch Kristen's episode of Baby Shark if you haven't.
Yes, more will be out next year because animation takes about a year for an episode to come out.
Were you a Cartoon Network girl or a
Nickelodeon
girl?
I was Cartoon Network cartoons, mm-hmm. and I was more aligned with Nickelodeon live action.
Okay, so all that
Zoey 101,
Keenan and Kel,
Drake and Josh,
a little Drake and Josh. You know, it's so funny, but Drake and Josh, I just like, I didn't like how unfair things were for Josh.
I didn't like that either.
Especially growing up, always chubby.
Mm-hmm.
I think like that kind of media kind of put like people like my age, like bigger body people, like in that headspace of like, you are the butt of the joke.
Yeah.
And you'll never find love because you're chunky fat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
which still feels that way on the dating apps because it is the world that we live in.
Yes.
That he also, was a caricature.
Yeah. And Miranda, what was her character's name?
Yeah. Megan.
She was so mean. Why is she so
evil?
I feel like that whole era, that whole Dan Schneider era, was like so it was like cheap jokes. It was like, let's like shock the audience, mm-hmm. and not even to mention all this other stuff about Dan Schneider, but like, let's shock the audience and let's like make fat jokes and like weird also, toe jokes. And
also,
he
did have a lot of characters that were just kind of like neurodivergent or like autistic maybe. And he was just kind of like making them the butt of the joke. Yeah. Like, I'm thinking of like, I don't even know.
What is Quinn's Stacey. Boyfriend?
Mark.
Name?
Who's I like eggs.
Oh,
Debbie.
I felt like Debbie was the inspiration for Amanda Seyfried's character on Mean Girls.
Mm. Oh, that is...
I was just like, she is so... I like eggs. Mm. I was like, did they get the same girl? Like, when I first saw it, and I was
oh my God.
And that also was like a caricature in the early 2000s. Was like the dumb blonde.
Yeah. She wasn't even blonde.
Who?
Debbie. She was brownhead.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The blonde was from Tennessee.
That really confused me because the blonde was from Tennessee, but then Amanda and was playing a character that named Amber. And so I was like, which one do I identify with?
I was just about to say, I feel like that whole sketch was amazing. And I love the girl.
And then there was a black one.
Yeah, she was the angry one.
They were just like all different pieces.
She would handle this. She would handle everything.
Yeah. She'd take them into the toilet. That sketch, every single time I am like drunk in a bathroom with a lot of girls, I will enter it and I go, the girl's room. Like, if you've been out with me on a night, you'll hear me say it.
It does come into my mind every time.
Automatically.
So you were Cartoon Network cartoons.
Yeah. Dexter's Lab, Powerpuff Girls. Mm-hmm. What was Secret Squirrel a part of? It was all these shows had other shows within them.
What do you mean?
The Powerpuff Girls didn't, but Dexter's Lab, you would see, they had like a monkey mini series. I forget the name of the monkey. They also had the Justice Friends. It was like...
Oh, like Justice League.
Yeah, but they would all have these like little shows within them. So it was just like...
Okay,
just that's like fun. the universe. And then I was a little older when Foster's House of Imaginary Friends came...
That was ours.
But
I like that
it's
one.
By the creator of the Powerpuff Girls, Craig McCracken, and there would just be little hints of the previous shows.
Yeah, right. The shows. Now, what about where did the Scooby-Doo fandom start?
Scooby-Doo would be on WB, and it would also be on Cartoon Network, the reruns.
Is WB Warner Brothers?
Yeah.
That used to be a channel?
The CW.
Ah!
Yeah. Formerly... WB.
Oh my goodness,
WB
y'all.
20 in DC. My parents grew up with it and they loved it. Mm-hmm. And I got to grow up with it and enjoy it. And in the mornings, getting ready for school, a pup named Scooby-Doo would come on. Mm. And then on Saturdays, they would like play like the old cartoons. So it would feel like Saturday morning cartoons with cereal. And I'm just like, wow, like I'm literally like living the same life that my parents did. Oh. And like going outside and playing after. But I think that there was something about, I used to like know in my heart of hearts I was going to be a veterinarian because I just like loved animals, even though we never had dogs. We always had cats growing up. Oh. But I just loved like an animal being like a centric, like part
like
of a story.
Having a personality. Yeah.
I had this imaginary friend named White Tiger and it was like this giant white tiger that like lived under my bed.
Oh my goodness.
Why the tiger gotta be white? I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
I loved animal companions in storytelling.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like,
I think that's why I like Pokemon a lot too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And just like, you know, Ash has a special Pikachu and everything. And that's like his best buddy. And then he's like, you know, making bonds with these fake creatures. And that makes them, their friendship makes them their performance better when they're in battle and those sort of things.
What's your opinion on the live action Scooby-Doos?
I love them.
I'm obsessed with them.
I love
them. They're two of the best movies I've ever seen.
Yes, the movies. Let's clarify, because there was a weird time in 2008-09 where we were coming off of What's New Scooby-Doo, which I do like, and great theme song by Simple Plan,
What's right. Scooby Doo?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, amazing.
It was of the time. I have heard that, yes. They were doing these origin stories. And I think Hayley Kiyoko played Velma.
Yes, I remember that.
I remember this. Them.
And Robbie Amell was Fred. In that,
yeah, Robbie Amell was Fred.
We have it on DVD.
The movie.
It was, yeah, that was a weird time. And there was a really, one. I remember there was a like really weird guy playing Shaggy. Like, I was just like,
ugh. Yeah. I think we've only seen that once.
Because like Matthew Lillard.
He's my perfect heart, Shaggy. My heart. Yeah. Isn't he the Shaggy? Isn't he Shaggy in like the animated ones now too?
Well.
What?
Uh-oh.
When Scoob dropped in 2020.
The worst movie I've ever seen.
It's pretty bad.
Didn't see that one either.
It's not. It's definitely not. It does not make my list of acceptable Scooby-Doo spinoffs.
That's the one where he can talk, right?
Well, Scoob always talks. Scooby always talks.
No, but like he talks really in full sentences in Scoob. Well,
it was just a mess.
It was wrong.
But Matthew Lillard found out on Twitter that Will Forte was cast as Shaggy. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, okay then.
It was a bad choice.
Oh, no.
It was a bad choice because those two movies, which apparently Freddie Prinze Jr. regrets, I saw today in an article.
What?
They Why? Were like, do you want to do a third one? He was like, no, I don't regret much, but I regret those movies.
Why?
Those movies are so good. They're such good satire.
I also thought it was
satire.
So cute that him and Sarah Michelle Gellar were playing Fred and Daphne.
Are married. Yes.
He literally gave us so many good quotes.
Did he say why?
No, I didn't click on the articles because it disappointed me.
Okay, you know what I want to say to that? Zac Efron was embarrassed of High School Musical for a period of time, so maybe he'll come
but
back.
But he was a
like,
child. Freddie
Prinze
Jr. was a
always children. Like Freddie Prinze Jr. probably was like, this is embarrassing. He'll probably come back around and be like,
He didn't like that he had to say, you're trying to make it look like I think that I think Coolsville sucks. No, don't want that.
Yeah.
I love those movies. We have to have a movie night.
Yeah, we should watch those back to back. I mean, obviously the second one's not as good as the first, but you got Seth Green, you know, being crazy in it.
And I also like the monsters in the second. I think the monsters are the pterodactyl ghosts.
I think it's funny, yeah.
My favorite Scooby-Doo thing of all time, though, was Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island. Oh, see, you haven't seen that?
No.
It scared the shit out of me when I was a kid, and I was just like, oh my God. I was like, this franchise knows how to talk to me, the kid, because they know that I'm adult enough to handle real monsters.
Right.
Whoa.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's also very, I just love things that are self-aware.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One of the greatest like shames of my life. Mm-hmm. I'm doing air quotes for everybody. One of the greatest like shames of my life is like my dating track record has only been white men. Mm-hmm. And as a black woman, you know, quote unquote, mm-hmm. not a great look in the community or whatever.
Yes.
So in my stand up, I just been like, I like white men, You know, just right. like,
just like, yes, we know it's. We
I
know.
Was like, they're corny. I don't know. You know, like, I'm a subscriber.
Yeah.
It's rotten. But also, it's not rotten.
I mean, the way that we. I feel like there's like two sides to it because you can call it out, but then you can call out why that is. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the same for me. I've only dated white men. I went to a predominantly white school like twice.
Yeah.
Like my entire life.
I was bullied for being too white in my predominantly black school.
Mm.
And then I went to a predominantly white school and I'd go to predominantly white summer camps.
Mm-hmm.
And, I didn't feel scared to have crushes on white men because it wasn't like I was going to be like found out I was like something else, you know, like, like you like John Mellencamp. What, you know what I mean? Like it wasn't like weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, something that I'm dealing with now is, because of the dating history that I've given myself and because of the times now, I've found that I am lonely because there is a white beauty standard that I don't fit into. Mm-hmm. And you can meet like the most liberal white man of all time. Like you were still going to have like many conversations because there's going to be an event where you're forced to educate them.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's not easy to date a black woman.
Mm-mm. Nope.
No. That's and also right. because like black women are always typically like the advice givers and the empathy sharers because we kind of have to be. It's like built into us as black women. Like we're kind of like shit on the most. It's like if you have problems, I can empathize with it, but people don't really always reciprocate it back to us.
Yeah. Right. And I was also, I was telling Erica this morning, I was like, my hair is at a weird length right now because I just shaved it because you all know why I shaved my head.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've probably thought about doing it.
I did. We both did it.
I'm like, I don't know how I feel about it.
It's time to go.
But I do know that I have a lot of time back. And it's like the world that we live in literally wasn't created for black women to have time to do the hair.
Right. So I have braids all the time.
Exactly.
I asked a friend to hang out today and she couldn't because it's hair wash day.
Mm-hmm. But you're right. Like this is my journey. Okay. I've dated two people. They're white men. They're cis het. Now, because I'm like demisexual. It's just hard for me to like, get to know people and want to do that with anybody. Mm-hmm. And so now I firmly like am rarely ever attracted to white men, like new white men, but it's so hard for me to welcome somebody new into my life that I get so intimidated flirting with people. Like I only want to date like non-cis men right now. And I also kind of want to date a black person,
mm-hmm.
but I just, it has not come up in the cards for me since my sexual realization a couple years ago and since coming back out into the world post-pandemic. And so I still also carry that shame of like everybody I've dated is a white man.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like I carried that with me, even like celebrity crushes, even like whoever I've been most obsessed with has been like white, predominantly white shows, white people, like white culture, quote unquote. But I think just now we're coming into a stage where like people, black nerds exist prominently and not just privately. Like people are being public about loving anime, like loving whatever they love, loving like Hannah Montana, Disney Channel, whatever. It's because like, well, if those things existed with black people in them, I would have loved them too. But like, this is my taste.
Yeah. I also want to go back to the like, I don't know if I would describe myself as demisexual, but I do know that I have to like know a lot about a person for me to like find them attractive now. And I think growing up, I was so like, I'm so insecure that all my white celebrity crushes, I mean, all my celebrity crushes are white. Most of them are like from like childhood. And it's because they had them marketed to like show how relatable and quirky and cute and funny these little white boys are. And like, how they're not, I don't know, they marketed them to be like the boy next door. So like that was my celebrity crush growing up. but
they were also the most like complex and nuanced characters.
Right, like you were able to learn more about them rather than the actual boys next door because, I don't know, I was shy. I wasn't talking to anybody. But I feel like that has transferred into like me and like who I'm attracted to now. Like I also don't just like see someone at a bar and I'm like, let me go and try my best with them over there. Because like, and it really doesn't matter what they look like. Doesn't matter like if they're white or anything. I'm just kind of like, I don't know you, and this isn't the place to do that. And so I think I still prefer having parasocial relationships because I'm just like, I know about them because they shared what they wanted to share with me over media.
Yeah.
Does that sound crazy?
No.
No, you like don't have to actually know them. Like if there's, it's like
I know the version of them that they want me to know.
Yeah. Also, my fondest, like non-dating relationships, like my fondest hookups are with foreign men.
Mm-hmm.
I've slept with a lot of people. You can keep that in. Not as much in my early 20s, just like I hit the ground running because I was also in New Orleans.
And I have never been to New Orleans as an adult.
Neither have I. I've only been when I was like five.
I always tell people, if you're in your 20s and you don't know what to do with your life, like just go fuck off in New Orleans for a few years.
Wow.
I mean,
I would love
it's
to
a vibrant place.
I lived many lives. I was in a rap group. Yeah, I did rap before I did stand up.
Can you freestyle?
No. Well, like if I'm a good amount of drunk and high.
Thank you for being honest.
Yeah. But that was like a big thing back then. It's just like, you're not real if you can't freestyle. So we were just like, never ask us that.
I mean, I feel like that's a little bit of the same in like comedy. Like people are like, you're not a comedian if you can't, like what's real comedy?
Yeah,
like,
this is comedy.
Well,
what's
some people
comedy?
Just like to sit down and write and think about what they're going to say.
I know. I just think that like, well, yes.
Yeah, I don't think you should have to do off the cuff.
Yeah, you don't have to be able to freestyle if you
because,
like to think about what
people
are
deep thinkers.
Yeah.
Also, like, how do you know it's going to work every time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It scares me.
But that's
me
also
to death.
What I don't like about stand-up. I hate repeating myself.
Mm. I've, like, I've heard you say this before.
I don't really like repeating myself either. That's why I kind of, like, I don't know.
I get insecure that people are going to be like, we've seen this. Can y'all do anything else? And it's
that's the nature.
And also, you do have to keep in mind once you're doing it like more professionally, you do have different audiences every time, which is something I didn't realize going to mics all the time. Of course, I'm going to see the same people at the mics over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But that is your big world when you're first doing stand up, and it's hard. It's hard. It's embarrassing. It doesn't feel good. You know, I've been getting a lot of generals now, and people like ask me my influences, and I'm just like, I kind of try to wear the horse blinders, especially when it comes to stand up and comedy, just because I don't want to be accidentally influenced by somebody and people tell me that I'm similar to somebody else.
Right.
Because if there's one thing that I'm not, it's similar to anybody else.
That's true. You're doing a great job because I can't
say
think of anyone to compare you to. You're really. You are your own agent.
I don't want
agent.
Anybody to ever compare, like, because I just know that I'm just a weird little being in the universe.
Yeah.
Did you ever use fandom as an outlet for being weird?
So something that I kept the secret for a very long time was, I know you guys wrote fan fiction.
I didn't write.
Oh, you
didn't? I read
present tense a lot.
I don't read anymore, but I did.
I would, and I was introduced to this on Neopets.com. I would go into role play forums, and I was very, very, very private about this until literally about maybe like 10 years ago. I started talking about it more openly.
Mm-hmm.
But from ages 10 to 18. Every day I was playing video games, I was watching anime, whatever, and I was actively looking for role play forums to be a part of whatever I liked at the time. I was never on like a Scooby-Doo role play forum, but it would be like high school role play forum, and then you would choose a celebrity to be the face, like a white celebrity to be your character's face. I would use like, I was in a Harry Potter role play site, and I would use the model Agnes Dean. I would use Cole Moore, and like they would be my wizards.
Wow.
And,
I didn't know they had these.
I would be in, I remember a really fun one was like, I was on the Chicago role play site. And that's also when I started out. It's like, I use Santa Gold as a face and stuff. But I also be on anime role play sites using like original characters as like, I think I did like Zoids. I did Fruits Baskets. I did, I've done a Pokemon role play. A role play site is where you would go into, people would make set up worlds basically. So think of any fandom. There was probably a role play site that existed. So you're making an original character. I would have to fill out an application to be accepted into it, where I would have to demonstrate my writing skills so I could show them that I could basically, yeah, tell a story. And you're just telling stories with other people online, just basically making up fan fiction within the realm. I would do a lot of vampire role plays. So it wouldn't be like after a particular series, but you would have a vampire original character. And then some sites would use like cartoons. Some sites would use real people. And then you would use the celebrities as your face. As I got older, I was in like zombie role play sites, like when The Walking Dead came out, just a little bit. But with college, it was, even though I dropped out, it was hard to like, you know, be an active member on a role play site. But
yeah,
a lot of those people wrote books. I would become Facebook friends with these people. I had one. I would be on AIM role playing with this chick Kim, and she actually went to college with my sister, but they didn't know each other at all.
That's so crazy.
Like she would send me DVDs of like her favorite animes, because she would like play the she would play like the guys, and then like I would basically create girlfriends for them, and then that would be
this is what so we communal. Would you ever do live? I mean, LARPing. Or have you?
No, I think that would make my bones kind of shake in a new way.
I just remember it was on a Degrassi episode, but I've never done it.
I can't, I'm not that comfortable in my own skin. And not that those people are, they're clearly so uncomfortable in their own skin. It's even better to euphoric to slip into a world, but I'm too aware.
It's a form of drag, kind of. Like, all of this, like the, the role playing and and like LARPing, and it's just like it's escaping into somebody else.
But I didn't realize that I was setting myself up to be a writer.
I mean,
and I was so embarrassed and ashamed that I had like so much fun just writing with other people. Well, but I literally, it's just like you're agreeing on a story, except you don't really know where it's going. Well, you kind of know where you want it to go, and you guys set it up and you like talk about that before. Or like within role play forms, you could like post wanted ads of like characters that
need to be filled.
Yeah. And you could be like, oh, here are three like actors that I suggest you use as
like online theater.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting, because you literally, your show White Time was you making different roles.
Well, yeah, I tried to, for those of you who don't know, I do a show called White Time. It's a white faced minstrel show.
And it's fantastic.
Thank you very much.
I've never danced to blackface on a screen.
Yeah, it's a very twisted show. And I feel like I could even lean more into my characters, because everybody is based off of it. Well, besides one character I do is the heiress to Buca de Beppo. There's not really much to her. I just feel like
this is just need to be a white girl.
Yeah, she's just a white woman just existing, like minding her business. She is just like, don't talk politics with her. Just it's like, she's trying to have a good time.
It's literally like some of the most bizarre satire I've ever seen, but I love it. I love it.
I'm like, you guys have to see it, because you guys saw the October version, right?
We saw it in January.
You did? Okay,
too.
Okay.
We saw the first night.
Yeah, we came opening night.
Okay, cool. I'm like, because I'm constantly like making little changes. The whole show is based off of my trauma of people calling me like white and Oreo my whole life. And I was just like, okay, I'll be white.
Yeah. I have a question about, like, did you have any characters that you like put on the back burner, or like that you might add on to the show or switch out, or any other characters that you'd want to?
There are like more teacher characters that I want to do.
Because white teachers are menaces.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, but that's like mostly of what all I had.
Yeah. Yeah, our only white black educators. Teacher was our mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ever.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I had some professors in college, like two, but like it was my mom.
I did African American studies, and so that's when I had a lot of black professors, but.
Same.
Veronica Cherry was our only black teacher.
Wow. In elementary school, I had one white teacher, and he was the science teacher. But, you know, Bill Nye was popping them. So, okay. Yeah, he was like, he was that guy.
Yeah.
I was about to call him the N-word, but I'm like, we'll not do that.
Can we do that?
I mean,
yes, we could.
But like, I'm just going to call him that guy because I'm not trying to like perpetuate calling white people the N-word right. to say that they're cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Speak on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
That is correct.
That's correct.
But it sounds like, it just like directly correlated to like your fandom was writing and creative, which it most of the time is. Like most of the time it's a creative outlet because you're so weird and like you feel like a misfit elsewhere in your life.
Yeah, and then you start to realize like because some of this, I mean, all of the success that I'm seeing now is from leaning into the things that I was embarrassed about.
Yeah.
And people think that it's hilarious.
Right.
And
right.
like, I know that it is hilarious, but it's also just like very tragic.
Right.
But I'm like, that's comedy.
But people think it's hilarious because they're also like, oh, that's me too. And we can laugh about it now.
And they thought it was a secret.
Yeah. And we're like, let's all just... be together in this mess
because that's what our show Disney Vortex is about too.
Go see their show, it's great.
we and Kristen were in the same. We were in a comedy festival at the Elysian Theater in LA this past October, mm-hmm. and Kristen did it her white time again in January, and we're about to do Disney Vortex again.
Yeah, our shows go together.
They actually do.
It's a two-parter.
I mean, Disney Vortex is about like us feeling. Excitement but also shame about being so influenced by white Disney Channel celebrities and like how that really 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 cannot overestimate how much it shaped us as people.
And it's also kind of like we're working on like a number where we're trying to figure out how to like convey the delusion we felt and like how happy we were in like the early days of the Disney white influence. And I'm just like, we didn't realize how the system was working against us, and so we were able to just be so free and like confident in ourselves.
I miss the racism of the 90s.
What do you mean by that?
Like the blatant jokes that made like...
Yeah, it was just like...
When white people knew that they were racist?
Yeah, it wasn't like, it wasn't ever... like now it's weird because like with all the racism happening, they're just like, yeah, we're reemerging. It's just like, no, you were never gone.
Yeah.
But we just all coexisted. And now I feel like they're upset because we're trying to fix it.
Yeah.
But I don't think there is a way to fix it.
I mean, and I don't really like the like
whole thing and start over.
Like the whole entire world like from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Cause I agree. Like, I don't really like the wink, wink, like white people humor of like 30 Rock. That's like, wink, we know white people are racist, but in doing so, we're going to be racist too.
Which is also like, in Parks and Rec too, with the Native Americans. Like I go back and look at those episodes and I'm like, this is
so much that you can do as a white person calling out racism. I'm like, this is not funny to me.
Yeah.
I just remember feeling more included in the 90s than I do now.
I mean, yeah, even like That's So Raven and the Cheetah Internet. Girls, like That's So Raven the Cheetah Girls were right at the beginning of the 2000s, and then
it whitewashed.
And Proud Family, and then like after that, Disney Channel said bye.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, you had Sister, you had Moesha, you had the Parkers. Yeah. There were just like more shows,
yes,
like that on about like black families, and it was just like I don't know. I guess like America got too black when Obama became president, mm-hmm. and then they got too white when Trump won. And I mean, the world's never been. I used to DJ under the name Harriet Dubman, And I stopped after Trump won because I was just like, it's not fun this and funny here. Anymore.
No, yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh,
you okay. You're a streamer. You stream.
I stream here. Like, I want to be a streamer. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am a streamer because I have streamed, but like, I wish that I could be on every single night.
Full time.
But then I realized that the people that I admire that are streaming, like, that is their livelihood. You mm-hmm. know, they have their boring day jobs and then they get on and stream and they're alive
yeah.
at night.
Yeah.
And then I'm like decompressing from my like 9 to 6 day. And then right. I get on, I'm just like, hey guys, I'm just smoking weed and playing. You want to watch?
Yeah. But fun.
What games?
So I've gotten into a lot of PC games recently. I've okay. been playing a really funny horror game. I was playing was Mortuary Assistant. It's so messed up. I won't go into detail. I'm like, just Google it. Sons of the Forest, so I'm addicted to right now. And I'm literally like, you get you crash in an island and you have to find like the rest of your team, but mm-hmm. they're all dead. And you can play with up to 8 people.
Oh,
or
wow,
up to 7 other people. But there's cannibals on the island and they attack you and you can eat them.
Oh my God, I just finished watching Yellow Jacket, so I'm like literally on this like
oh I should watch season 2
I'm not season 2 hasn't come out yet show. It comes out
to
like
finish season 1
yeah finish like season 1 because it's disturbing as hell.
I'm so behind on shows that I need to watch,
but
you guys should watch P-Valley.
Oh, that's it's Tori Hall is from Memphis.
Oh really?
And can you sing the theme song?
Down in the valley where the girls get naked. That's Juicy Fruit. I follow her on Instagram. She's so good.
It takes place.
She's a Tennessee rapper.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. I mean, Juicy like Fruit. Everybody. Awesome. There's so many people from Memphis on that show.
My roommate Tiana was watching it, and that theme song was in our living room for a while.
Yeah, season 1 is amazing.
I'm shaking my ass.
And it
everyone.
Was the first time too where I was just like, okay, black shows do exist, but they just don't cross my path like yeah. as organically.
Mm-hmm.
As, it sucks.
Yeah.
It's in the I mean, representation they just don't get matters, as much right tab.
Yeah, they don't get as much marketing.
Yeah, but I
have like, you been watching? Have you? Has anyone seen Swarm?
I've been told scared. To watch it.
I've seen the first 2 episodes. It was scary.
I'm gonna watch it, but I'm scared. But I'm gonna watch it.
It's scary. I also I want to wait to see like how they do. Like what they're saying, because what I don't want them to be saying is that all fans are psychotic.
Yeah,
that's what I
that's
don't want them to say.
Mm.
I do want them to say the dangers of being
oh,
obsessed.
Oh yeah, you guys need to finish it.
Yeah,
because
I need to.
It's a show about fandom. Yeah.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like when once we both finish it, we should have a conversation about okay, fans I'm, versus stans.
I'm having yeah. trouble watching Velma.
Oh,
because. I watched the first 5 minutes, and my takeaway from just watching the first 5 minutes is you don't need the IP. Like leave Scooby-Doo alone, make your own cartoon about whatever you want.
Yeah.
But I also have like, I can go on and on about like the random race changing in Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
I'm just like, let them, I have the cure.
Yeah.
I have the cure. It's stewing in here.
Mm.
And I do want everybody to know that I am going to be the president of Scooby-Doo one day.
I believe that.
I'm
going
to make all the decisions in the franchise. Mm-hmm. Apparently that's closer than I could ever imagine. So I don't know what's going to come after I take over the Scooby-Doo universe. But I do
It'll
want,
be exciting.
I want all the Scooby-Doo fans to know that I hear you. I see you. I'm one of you. And I'm going to save our baby.
Kristen Wallace for Scooby-Doo president. Kristen Wallace
Kristen
for Scooby-Doo
Wallace for
president.
President.
Ruh-roh.
No, I love that you said that because I agree. Me and Amber had to turn it off after 5 minutes because we just couldn't really stomach it. But I watched the pilot and I did not think it was good.
I have one coworker that likes it, but she also has no allegiance to Scooby-Doo. Mm.
See, and you have to have some allegiance to the IP. Like if the fans of something hate it, and I understand that sometimes fans are wrong, and I understand sometimes fans don't know the decisions that go into things. However, I've been in the industry for a while, and I do know the decisions that go into things sometimes. And the ones at Velma, not working. They're not working for Scooby-Doo.
And I agree.
Yeah.
They're not working.
That show is an animated show where the only people that are not animating it do not love animation. And you can feel it. You can feel it. Mm. It's just a bunch of stand-ups and stuff.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to love the medium if you're going to make the medium.
Yeah. I mean, you want a cartoony bitch, like, running the cartoon.
You want a fan of this thing to be making it. Like, I mean, Seth Rogen's making the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Seth Rogen loves Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He's obsessed with it. And so...
See, that's what I want. That's what I'm trying to achieve. I'm just like, I want to be a known funny person that everybody trusts.
Yes. And I want that... And then... I want to do that for Avatar: Last Airbender at any capacity. I don't need to be the president. I'm not Asian. But I would love to be on it in some way.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of Adventure Time?
I dabbled in it, but it's kind of like the same feeling as Rick and Morty, where just like I see the fans and I don't want to be a part of them.
I have fans like I have fandoms like that. I mean, I love it. I watched it in the pandemic and
it's a good show.
Cried, but yeah, I understand that because I'm trying to think of a fandom from like teenage years where I was like,
I had that with Invader Zim. I went to 2 Invader Zim conventions.
I heard you talk about that. Yeah, and it was
the fans scared the shit out of me, but it was because I was 13 and it was like a bunch of like middle-aged white people who like had a bunch of tattoos and piercings, and I love the tattoos and piercings, but I was with my 2 Christian black parents and I was like, you weren't there, Amber.
I was at one of them.
Okay,
please don't erase
you were at one. But you didn't come to the first, and I was low-key so mad at you.
Okay, well, I didn't watch that show. I didn't watch that show.
Also, I think like there can be a million good things out, and I could have 10 of my closest friends tell me that it's good and that I should watch it. But if I don't feel like being involved in the liking of something, I don't care. Like, I might not see Tar, even though my mom said she watched it twice and was planning on watching it a third time.
Wow. I feel that sentence so well because I never hopped on Game of Thrones and everyone told me to and I never did.
I don't think you would like it.
Thank you, Amanda.
You might not.
Sister told me I wouldn't like it.
I only watched it because very recent ex-boyfriend at the time, I had gone to like season 3 premiere and I was asking so many questions and I was just like, oh shit, this is like, you know, like, oh, I get it. Like every good show is just sex and politics. And that's all it is. It's just like sex and politics with like medieval garb and dragons.
It's good. A lot of it is good. I'll say a lot of it is bad, especially after the books ended and the creators didn't really know what to do with it.
Just like Apple products.
White men with power in television, if you're listening, it's okay to ask other people for help.
It's ask okay for opinions.
Ask for, just because you have a job title does not mean that you should make all the decisions. In fact, you only have the job position because you were given a beautiful network. And you have the option to choose that network, or you have the option to direct that network and sit on top of it as some weird dictator leader. But please stop ruining things just because you're afraid of your feelings being hurt.
Because it takes a what, ladies? It takes a village. Okay, so if you are the dictator of a village, ask the villagers.
What do they think?
What they want.
Please ask us. We'll consult and we'll take it over if you want.
And we'll tell you. And it makes, the people will tell you.
It makes validation, real, genuine validation, all the more special when you've made something good. Because sometimes you need to be invalidated.
Right, because you're not always right. To receive
real validation.
That's right. Well, this has been fun.
Yes, it has.
And healing and therapeutic.
If you guys ever want to have like a sleepover too and like watch Grease, I've done it before. It's amazing.
As long as we can watch Grease 2 right after.
I haven't seen that since high school, but
Amanda's up Grease 2's ass.
I love Grease 2, guys. It's so camp.
We had to watch the reproduction.
On Paramount Plus?
No, we watched it in health class.
Reproduction, the number.
Reproduction.
Make my stamen go berserk.
Okay, y'all. I don't know. I cannot name a single song from this except for Cool Rider.
Cool Rider.
No, don't get her started.
It was amazing that they got Michelle Pfeiffer.
Please. And the guy that plays the like Danny insert whatever is so funny. Johnny,
I have to rewatch it.
We have to watch it. We're gonna have to do this.
Okay, and then we can watch the ladybirds. That's the pink ladies.
Oh,
that's coming on Paramount.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Kristen
Thank you so much. Do you have what? Plug your show, plug anything.
Come to a White Time. Follow me on Instagram at Very Genuine. I hate social media, but it's the only way that I can stay a living, breathing person, I guess, mm-hmm. in the digital eye.
Mm-hmm. Instagram is also stressing me.
Say that.
But you all are so special to me. You know, I have an older sister, and I just see a mirror of what our life could have been like if we lived in the same city. Oh. And you guys are just the coolest, sweetest little beans. Oh. I love you.
Kristen, we love you.
We love you so much.
We love you so much.
Thank you so much for being on. Everybody, go to see Disney Vortex at the Elysian also. The information is in our bio mm-hmm. at fangirl.central on Instagram. I'm Amanda Lane Miller at Instagram.
I am Amber Miller at Instagram.
Amber L. Miller.
Am I Amber L. Miller? I'm Amber L. Miller at Instagram. This is Fangirl Central.
Keep it chaotic.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.